Schofield Bible. It's page 943. And we're going to read, and I'm going to try my best to be done in 4 or 5 weeks at the most. And so probably taking one chapter a week. And about the time, this is the first Wednesday night in October, about the time I get done, we'll be to that in our Sunday school lesson. So I hope I don't go over, you know, or take away from what the Sunday school teachers will take, will bring out in it, but I just felt like that I wanted to preach through the book of Jonah.
I think, and I look back over the past several years, some notes that I had, I think the whole time I've been here, I've only preached out of the book of Jonah twice. Once out of chapter 1 and once out of chapter 4. But I want us to look at the whole book. And a lot of good lessons in the book of Jonah. And certainly applies to our nation. It applies to us as individuals. There's just a lot of good things in the book of Jonah. But I want us tonight just to read chapter number 1. And we'll try to get through the whole chapter. Just bring out some things. If I was given a title tonight, I would title chapter number 1, Jonah Ran from the Lord. And we're going to see tonight how Jonah ran from the Lord. And the Bible says in Jonah chapter 1 and verse number 1, it said, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea, to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. And they said every one to his fellow, Come, and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country, and of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then said they unto him, What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, Take me up, and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you, for I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life. And lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took Jonah up and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. And so we're preaching on the subject that Jonah ran from the Lord. And in dealing with the book of Jonah, I want to say just a few things in by way of introduction about that. First of all, he is a real person. And this really happened. And there's a lot of people out here that are religious. I won't say that they're saved, but they are religious and they are critical of God's Word. And so not being saved and not having faith, of course you might have a hard time believing the book of Jonah. And you might come along and say, well, that could never happen. That's bound to be a fictional fairy tale of some sort. But the Lord Jesus Christ Himself compared Himself to Jonah and said that Jonah and what happened with Jonah in Matthew chapter number 12 was a sign. And that as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. So the Lord Jesus Christ believed in the book of Jonah. He believed in the prophet Jonah. He believed in the whale, the great fish that we read about here in the Bible. All of those things really took place. Jonah is mentioned other places in the Bible. He lived in a place called Gath-Hepher, and that was northern Israel. He lived there during the reign of King Joash. He is mentioned in 2 Kings chapter 14 and verse number 25. And if you have a Scofield Bible, you can read some of those things in his introductory comments where it's mentioned in the book of 2 Kings chapter 14. But if we were to take time to turn over there tonight, there's some things you would learn about Jonah from over there. You would learn that Jonah was the Lord's servant and that he was a prophet, and that what he prophesied came to pass. All those things you learn in the book of 2 Kings chapter number 14. So Jonah, he was a prophet of the Lord, and he prophesied, and it came to pass. And God in God's Word called him the servant of the Lord. So Jonah's a real person. He lived at a real time. He had real experiences. Our Lord confirmed Jonah and the whale in Matthew chapter number 12, verses 39 through 41. Some have said that Jonah was the Peter of the Old Testament. He catches a lot of slack, like Peter does. He catches a lot of slack because God told him to go to Nineveh, and what did he do? He turned around, he went in the other direction. Sometimes he's called the running prophet. And even Scofield in his notes said that he was bigoted, that he was a bigoted Jew. Because he would not go to Nineveh, meaning by saying that he was what we would say in our day and time, well, Jonah was a racist. You know, he didn't want to go to the Ninevites. He hated them. He was a Jew, and he was for the Jews, and him being a bigot, he was against everybody else. But I was looking at that and thinking about that. I don't think he was so much a bigot as he was a patriot that loved his own nation and knew what God's Word prophesied, that the Ninevites and their descendants would one day come against Israel. And so he had a patriotic, and the Bible does not say this, but instead of just saying, well, he was racist or he was a bigot or narrow-minded, could he not have had a patriotic reason for not wanting to go to the Ninevites? But nevertheless, one way or the other, he's given a hard time for not going and doing what the Lord told him to do to begin with. But before we're too hard on Jonah, how you need to ask yourself the question tonight, how would you react if God spoke to you and told you to go to that one place that you would not want to go? You know, if the Lord called you to go to Hawaii, there's a lot of people say, like being in the military. If you're stationed in Hawaii, nobody would even actually think that you're just on vacation all the time. Well, you might want to go somewhere like that, or a lot of people want to go to Europe, but there's probably a place that you could think of, that I could think of, that you would say, boy, of all the places that God could call me to go or send me to go to, that's one place he'd have to speak audibly to me. Can you think of somewhere like that? I don't think I would do real well in a lot of places up north. I'm not saying that I would not do that, but you know, if I had my desire and there's some cities I wouldn't want to go to, I have no desire whatsoever. I've been asked by some missionaries to come to certain places. There's some places that I think to myself, well, I would really like to go there, but there's other places that I really don't have any desire to go to. And so where is it that if God spoke to you and told you to go to, that you might have a hard time to go to that place? Or to those people. Maybe you have a neighbor. Maybe you have somebody. You know, don't be too hard on Jonah if you've not went to that neighbor that gives you a hard time. Neighbors can be the greatest thing in the world, or they can make your life hard. What if God told you to go to them? What about that person you work with that makes your life miserable? What about somebody at school? What about, you know, there's all kinds of things that we could mention tonight. Don't be too hard on Jonah for not going when there's probably somewhere or somebody in our life that we've not gone to yet. And one thing you need to remember about the book of Jonah is who wrote the book of Jonah. And it's not somebody writing about Jonah and what he did, all of his fits and all of his fights and his flights and his failures, but Jonah penned that about himself. Jonah wrote these things about his own self, his own experience. So you got to give Jonah some credit. And we're to learn from the book of Jonah. There's some things we can learn from what Jonah went through. And so we want to begin tonight in chapter number 1, and just say, first of all tonight, that Jonah ran. Look what the Bible said in verse number 3. And there's three times in chapter number 1 that it talks about Jonah running or fleeing from the presence of the Lord. First of all, in verse number 3, but Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa. And the last part of verse 3, from the presence of the Lord. And the last part of verse number 10, the Bible said, for the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. And so we find here in the Bible that Jonah ran from the presence of the Lord. I believe he tried to resign. I believe he tried to quit the ministry. I mean, if God tells you to go somewhere and you say no, well, you're done anyway. And so he ran from the presence of the Lord. He was supposed to go east, but he went west. He was supposed to go to Nineveh, but he went towards a place called Tarshish. And there's some things about running from the presence of the Lord that we can bring out of this passage of Scripture tonight. First of all, it will cost you to run. If you look at verse number 3, the Bible said, Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and he went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. And I've got this underlined, so he paid the fare thereof. That's going to be a very expensive ticket he bought. That's going to be one of those things that you purchase, you buy, and you find out it cost a whole lot more than you thought it was going to cost. It cost Jonah a whole lot more than the initial expense. It cost when we run from God. And maybe he's like a whole lot of people are today in their Christian life and talking about being led and guided by the Lord. I mean, I can just imagine he gets this message from God. The word of the Lord came to him and said, Jonah, I've got something that I want you to do. And Jonah's got his mind made up. He's not going to do it. And he fled from the presence of the Lord. Where are you going to go to get away from God? And Jonah just makes up his mind, I'll just leave the country. And he goes down to the boat docks and he goes down to the seashore and he runs up to the ticket office and he asks the guy, you know, you got anything going anywhere? No, not really. Well, surely you got to have some all these ships and somebody. Oh, yeah, we do. We got one ship getting ready to leave out for Tarshish and looks like they can take one more person on board. And boy, Jonah said, That ticket's for me. They had a ticket and they was going and why, that it must be meant to be. You ever got in trouble with that kind of theology just because things sort of works out? And you know, that's how a lot of times we live our lives. We get something in our mind that we want, and we get involved in it. We pay the price thereof, and we justify it, and we say, "Well, it just must meant to be. It was meant to be. I went down there, and they had a ticket, and I bought it, and it must be that the Lord has changed His mind, or it just wouldn't have worked out like that." I've got in trouble like that, you know, trading cars or something before. You get in your mind, you want to do a certain thing, and why? Did you pray about it? Well, yeah, sort of. As I was headed out the door, I already made up my mind what I was going to do. "Lord, if it's your will, let me find that one." Well, they're turning out thousands of cars a day off of an assembly line. And there's, on the road that I live on, there's 10 places you can buy a car in 2 miles, seems like. And then you can go to a big dealership, and man, they make it easy for you. You can find something, but that don't always mean the Lord's in it. Just because something works out doesn't mean it was meant to be. A lot of times we blame things on the Lord by saying, "Well, it worked out. It was meant to be." I've done that in my personal life, business life, church life, all kinds of ways to get off track. But just because something works out doesn't mean God's always in it. He paid the fare thereof, and He's going to pay a whole lot more before it's said and done. And when we run from God, that's exactly what it does. It costs us. And I was thinking today, you know, there's a lot of healthy men and women out here that had all kinds of potential with their life. They had good jobs. They had good education. But they got involved in alcohol. And boy, they paid the fare thereof. And there's people out here, their health is broken, their life is broken, they've lost every good thing they ever had, family relationships broke all to pieces, but they paid. It costs to run from God. And it's just not the initial cost. Gambling, I mean, you name it, there's all kinds of things we could mention tonight that people get involved in. And it cost them, and it cost them a whole lot more than just a good time one time or something like that. Running from the Lord will cost you. Running from the Lord will take you down. Now, the only direction that Jonah goes is down. Every time you see him in chapter number 1, he's going down, down, down. He's trying to go towards Tarshish, but he's really going down. He goes down in verse number 3. The Bible said, "From the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa." That's where he paid his ticket. He went down to Joppa. Then in verse number 5, the last part of the verse, it said, "But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep." I read somebody that said that from Jerusalem to Joppa was about a 3 days journey, and Jonah was probably in a hurry. He probably made it in 2. He's wore out. He's finally got his ticket. He's finally on board the ship. They're finally headed out to sea. And Jonah says, "Boys, I'm exhausted. I've been running from the presence of the Lord. I believe I'll go down in the underbelly and I'm going to take me a little nap." And the Bible said he went down into the sides of the ship. And in verse number 15, the Bible said, "So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging." He went down into the sea. And in chapter 2, verse number 6, he said, "I went down to the bottoms of the mountains." And so Jonah, as he runs from the Lord, he goes down, down, down. And running from God, that's exactly where it'll take you. But you know, there's a lot of people in this world, as far as the world is concerned, it looks like, boy, they're really going somewhere. Boy, they're really going places. They're being promoted. They are gaining here and gaining there. But if you're not right with God, I'm telling you, all you're doing is going down. Down, down, down. You can be the biggest business person. You can have everything this world has to offer and get it all accumulated and have a good job and have nice this and nice that and just be so miserable that you just don't even want to wake up in the mornings. You go from the presence of the Lord, it takes you down, down, down and away. I notice this about Jonah. That is, he's going down, that he could not pray. Now, he confesses that he knows the Lord. He's told these fellas something about running from the presence of the Lord. And they were all praying to their God when the storm came. But in verse number 6, the Bible said, "So the ship master came to him and said unto him, 'What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God. If so be that God will think upon us that we perish not.'" And when he was in this place in his life where he's running from the Lord, he couldn't pray. He couldn't pray. The Bible says in Psalms chapter 66 and verse number 18, it says, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." He couldn't pray. Do you know why a lot of people won't come out on Wednesday nights? Not everybody, but there's a lot of people won't come to prayer meeting because really they know down in their heart there's no use. Have you ever just been honest and knew that it's no good for you to pray because there was something that wasn't right? "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." I think it was just last week at our house. And Kim and I and Chloe, we were going on about something, and it was about supper time. We was getting ready to eat, and I said something about something that really I shouldn't have said, and I was sort of joking about it. Not, I wasn't cursing or anything, but, you know, I just talking, and I said something, and I said, "Well, Chloe, maybe you ought to pray." I don't even think I ought to pray. Try to pray after saying that. It's a little something. But listen, if we've got sin in our lives, then you ever talked about, you ever heard about, "Well, I feel like my prayers are not even making it past the ceiling." That's because they're not. Jonah, the ship's about to go down for all he knows, but he's not praying. Everybody else is praying. They're calling out to their God. If you look there in those verses, they were calling out to their God with a little g in verse number 5. "Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God." They were afraid. Boy, they were praying, but old Jonah, he's not even praying. He's not in any shape to pray. And he really doesn't pray until we get into chapter number 2. But running from God, running from the Lord's presence, you're not going to be able to pray. No, something else about this, he could not conceal his sin. Verse number 7, the Bible said, "And they said, every one to his fellow, come and let us cast lots that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah." Now, to all those men on that whole ship, and no doubt this is a ship full of sailors. This isn't a Christian tour going somewhere. It's just a bunch of old heathens. And they've all got sin in their lives. There's no doubt about that tonight. And when the Bible said they cast lots, sort of like casting die or, you know, breaking a bunch of sticks, and whoever's got the short one, that's the one that done it. That's what they did. And out of all those men and all their sins that they all must have had among themselves, who gets the short stick? The preacher. You know what the Bible says? The Bible said, "Be sure your sin will find you out." Boy, that ought to cause some fear of God to come in our hearts and in our lives. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs chapter number 15, "The eyes of the Lord go throughout the whole earth, knowing good and evil." There's no sin that's hid from God. God knows all. God sees all. It is impossible to conceal our sin. When we run from God, there's no place to hide. He's not going to get away from the presence of the Lord. He's not going to get somewhere where nobody will know what's going on in his life. He lost his testimony. Verse number 8. Then said they unto him, "Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us." See, that's how that passage of Scripture reads. Tell us, since this is your fault. That's what that's saying. Then, verse number 8. Then said they unto him, "Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us." Hey, this is your fault. "What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country, and of what people art thou?" This is all your fault. Who are you? What do you do for a living? You know, nobody ever had to ask Moses what he did. And he had power with God. I've been reading, started over in my Bible, and I'm in the book of Exodus, and I'm telling you, when Moses strolled into town, they knew exactly who he was. That's Moses. He's got the rod of God in his hands. And last night I slept in a bed of frogs. And old Moses, the man of God, prayed and the frogs all died and we piled them all up and the land stank. I was reading that. Don't you know that was awful? Frogs, lice, what, river turned to blood. The sun hadn't shone for 3 days now upon us, and the locusts came and eat everything that the hail that God sent down didn't eat. I'm telling you, who's that? Nobody had to say, "Who's that?" That's Moses. And all that we are going through has to do something with that man. He's a man of God. Moses. Nobody had to ask Paul who he was. He didn't talk to anybody very long that they didn't know. He was a preacher of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he served the risen Lord. But here's old Jonah, and he's been with these guys now. We don't even know how long, and he's been asleep the whole time. And the only thing he's told them is he's running from God. And then all of a sudden, who are you? What do you do? What's your occupation? Where are you from? Who's your people? He had lost his testimony in running from God. And verse number 9, and I'm thinking that Jonah is thinking in his mind before verse number 9 where it said, and he said unto them, "I am in Hebrew and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven." I'm thinking that Jonah is thinking in his mind when they said, "Who are you and what's your occupation?" that Jonah would have thought in his mind, "Well, this is embarrassing. I'm the only one on this whole boat that knows that there's a real God in heaven, and they're all praying to something they pulled out of their pocket. And I've not prayed yet, and they're in trouble, and it's my fault. But I'm a Hebrew." Notice he didn't say, "I'm a prophet." Notice he didn't say, "I'm the preacher." He said, "I'm a Hebrew, and I fear the God of heaven." Notice that he said in verse number 9, "I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land." See, their gods were God of the mountain, God of the sea, God of the river, God of the stars, God of the sun. He said, "I fear the God of heaven. He made everything." He's basically saying, "Your gods aren't worth anything. My God's the only one it is." And he lost his testimony in all of this. He looked like a fool in all this because it said in verse number 10, "Then were the men exceedingly afraid and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them." People that run away from God can't keep their mouth shut. You ever notice that? They'll tell you. Get somebody backslid and away from the Lord. And I don't know how he told them, but he had related to them some way that he was running from the presence of the Lord. Now they're all in trouble. And the Bible said that they got on to him. Here's the heathen preaching to the child of God. What'd you do this for? Why'd you do this? Look what's happened to us. Why has this done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. Jonah ran from them. Running will do all these things. Running will put you to sleep in verse number 5, in verse number 6. The Bible said in the last part of verse number 5, but Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God. So running from the Lord will put you to sleep. You know, a lot of times we're like Jonah. We're fast asleep while our neighbors are going to hell, while people we work with are lost, people that we go to school with, and all around about us, they're just as lost as the men in this boat. And we're just asleep about it. Jonah's asleep. If the ship goes down, Jonah's the only one on the boat going to heaven, but he's asleep and he has no care, it seems, about that. And you know, we've all heard the little saying about sin. Sin always takes you farther than you want to go, keeps you longer than you intended to stay, and cost you more than you intended to pay. Jonah ran from the Lord, but let's think about this a few minutes tonight. Back in verse number 2, there's Nineveh's ruin. Jonah ran, but there's Nineveh's ruin. It said in verse number 2, arise, God had told Jonah, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. Now, the Bible said there in verse number 2, that great city. And Nineveh is an interesting city to study in the Bible. It is one of the oldest cities in the whole wide world. It is first mentioned in Genesis chapter number 10, verses 11 and 12. It's mentioned in connection with Nimrod. So right after the Tower of Babel and the confusion of all the tongues, people of the earth spread. They begin to separate out. Some of them begin to build great cities. Nineveh is one of the first cities that is mentioned. And it's coming out from Nimrod, who's the type of the Antichrist. It said in Genesis chapter 10 and verse number 12 about Nineveh, the same is a great city. And so Nineveh has been a major city since almost the beginning of the world. Some things about Nineveh that we learn from history is that in Jonah's day, Nineveh had already been around 1,000 years. Can you imagine living in a city that had been in existence for 1,000 years? We don't know anything about that in America. When we lived in England, we went to Cambridge one time. We visited a church and went into it, and it said that that church was established sometime in the 1400s. Kim and I stood there and I remember talking about that. Can you imagine? That's been around since the 1400s. It's before Columbus ever came. But Nineveh had already been around 1,000 years when God told Jonah to go to Nineveh. Nineveh has been excavated in this day and time. Nineveh was 60 miles in circumference. That's huge. That's a big city. 60 miles circle. It contained streets and avenues that were 20 miles long. That's far bigger than New York City is. It's big streets, 20 miles long. Its walls were 100 foot high. They were so wide that 3 chariots could be drawn side by side on the top. Its population was over 600,000. Nineveh was a great city, but not only was it a great city as far as large as it was and all the people that were in it, but it was great in wickedness. It was a wicked place. And that's what it says in verse 2, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it for their wickedness. And the Ninevites were a very cruel nation of people. When they would go against other nations and fight, they would impale their victims. They would stick them on a stick and prop them up in the ground. They would bury them in the sand. They would rip their tongues out. They would skin them alive. They would cut off their heads and pile them up in big piles so that all the surrounding nations would be afraid of Nineveh. Man, they're wicked. There's nothing that they will not do. and all the other wickedness that went on, and every sin cries out to God. Can you imagine how Jonah might have felt? It would be like, if you think of probably the most wicked place you can think of, and God told you by yourself, you go down there and you cry out against that city. It's no wonder Jonah didn't want to go. Their reputation preceded them by the time Jonah knew exactly where Nineveh was, and he knew about Nineveh. But what did God want Jonah to do? He wanted him to go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it. Go preach against Nineveh. The Bible said in Isaiah chapter 58 and verse number 1, cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet. And like it or not, that is what God wanted Jonah to do. God wanted Jonah to go down there and preach against that wicked, cruel bunch of people. And so when I learned a little bit about it, I sort of understand why Jonah didn't want to go down there. And God wanted Jonah to go down there and preach and cry against Nineveh, not against Egypt. It would be easy to go down there and preach against Egypt. But God said, go down there to Nineveh and cry against it. You know, God's people, I've learned down through the years, they don't care what you cry against as long as it's not against what they're doing. That's when it sort of gets uncomfortable for the preacher and the people. When the preacher exposes what we, you know, I've sort of kidded sometimes and said, now I'm not talking about you, I'm talking about somebody else, but you know we're guilty. And God told Jonah, he said, go down there and cry against it. It's our sins that the prophet, you know, when the prophet preaches against the people, that's what the people get mad at and want to hang the prophet over. It's not when the prophet preaches against something that's not going on. It's when he preaches against something that is going on. And every place has its own things. When I was out west, I had a missionary friend, and he was talking about in his church that he had a lot of people that came in and had joined the church, and they believed in drinking alcohol. He had to preach against that. He had to show, you know, that this is what the Bible says, and this is what our church covenant says, and our covenant is from the Bible, and he lost people over it. I don't have to preach against that. I don't think anybody's going home and drinking. But every place has different things they're up against. We had a missionary come one time, and the missionary came to church, and it wasn't here. It was probably was either been Forest Grove or Faith. But the missionary had went to Africa, and they said some of the things we're up against. I'm preaching to my people. I'm trying to get the women to wear shirts, tops, because they're all, nobody wears. Well, that'd be hard to go up against. That'd be hard to deal with. And each place you go to has different things that you're up against. And Jonah was up against the most wicked, most ungodly, cruelest bunch of people that probably had ever been, and God said, I want you to go down there, and I want you to cry against it. And so they were great in their wickedness. But I want to show you last of all tonight, one last thing. Number three, not only Jonah ran, and not only Nineveh's ruin, but I want to show you the Lord reigns. The Lord reigns. He reigns over us. He reigns over circumstances. Look what the Bible said in verse number 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah. And the Lord had a job for Jonah to do. And Jonah didn't want to do that job. But I want you to look down at verse number 16. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish. There's only two verses that starts with now. Verse 1, now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish. The Lord reigns. The Lord is in control of what He is in control of small circumstances. Jonah was indignant. Jonah was rebellious. Jonah ran, but God had a bounty hunter out for Jonah. In verse number 4, and you know what a bounty hunter does? A bounty hunter goes out and gets somebody and brings them in. And the Lord had a bounty hunter. And it's called in verse number 4, a great wind. And the Bible said, but the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea. And that great wind, what in the Bible does wind, what is that a type of? Wind in the Bible is a type of the Holy Spirit of God. In John chapter number 3, the Lord Jesus talks about the Holy Spirit. And He said, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell from whence it come or where it's going. That's like the Holy Spirit of God. And God sent a great wind out into the sea, a type of the Holy Spirit of God. Many times I've strayed, and many times you've gone astray in your Christian life, and God, through circumstances, God, through the power of His Holy Spirit and conviction, He's spoken to us. He's changed our heart, changed our plans, changed our minds. That's the Spirit of God. The key is this: to stay in a place where you can hear that still, small voice. We don't want there to have to come a great mighty wind into our lives. It's sad when a tragedy has to come into our lives in order to get our attention. We ought to be listening for that still small voice, the Holy Spirit of God, speak to our hearts. But God is capable of a great wind as well. God is able to send a tragedy into our lives, but I don't want to make a trip to the hospital. I don't want to make a trip to the funeral home or be like Jonah. Jonah caused these other men to lose possessions, to almost lose their lives, to almost lose their ship. And it was all Jonah's fault. Jonah was so hard against the Lord that he'd rather be thrown over the ship, thrown over the side of the ship, than to repent. He didn't say, I'll repent and get right with God and I'll go to Tarshish or go to Nineveh. He said, just throw me over. And these men, you've got to give them credit. They tried everything in the world not to have to throw Jonah over the side of the ship. The Bible said they rowed hard to bring it to land. But they were rowing against God. They were rowing against what the purpose that God had in Jonah's life. The Lord reigns even in our disobedience sometimes. In verse number 16, what Jonah didn't plan on and what Jonah didn't try to do, I believe with all my heart these men got saved. They come to believe in the true God of heaven. The Bible said in verse number 16, let's read verse 15. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. They had been serving and calling out to God with a little g, but now they're serving and calling out to the Lord with a capital L-O-R-D. They fear the Lord. They make an offering. They offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. Lord, if you'll just deliver us, I promise I'll be good to my wife, my children. We'll be in church next Sunday morning. You ever made vows or promises to God if He'd do something? Better be careful doing that. But I'm telling you, they got serious. They got serious with the Lord. God can take our mess and turn it around and use it for His glory and His honor. And God reigns because, in verse number 17, now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. And so we see in all of this that even Jonah in his disobedience, the Lord is merciful. God knew he was going to be disobedient, so the Lord prepared a great fish. God had already gone ahead and planned for Jonah's disobedience and how to get Jonah on the right track again. God is very much interested in our lives and keeping us and getting us on the right track. If we could just see how merciful, God could have just let him drown. To me, it looks like it'd been very easy. Hey, Jonah, you don't want to go. Forget about you. I'll just get somebody else. But that's not how the Lord operates. Look at the great lengths that the Lord goes to. The Lord didn't want Amos to go. He wanted Jonah to go. They're all contemporaries. They were all living at the same time. Couldn't he have just said, got Amos to go down there, the prophet Amos? Or one of the others that was lit. Jonah wasn't the only one, but God in his mercy, God wanted Jonah to go. And God's going to work things out. And Jonah's going to want to go to Nineveh. The Lord is going to work in his life because the Lord is merciful. Psalms 103 and verse 10, the Bible said, He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. If you and I got what we deserved, none of us would be sitting here tonight. God's good. God's merciful. And I praise His name for that. If you're on the run, I hope nobody here tonight is on the run from the Lord. But you're not going to get away from the Lord. Might as well just say yes. He's got a still small spirit, a voice. He's got a great mighty wind. He's got all of the universe at His disposal. If God wanted Jonah to go, Jonah's going to go. Jonah could have drowned, but Jonah didn't drown. Well, there's a great song we sing, All to Jesus I Surrender, All to Him I Freely Give. That's really a good place to be to. It's scary to think about that. Well, what if the Lord wants this? That's good. That's good. Walter, just give it to Him. So, chapter number one, Jonah. Jonah ran from the Lord. Chapter number two, we're going to see Jonah, he all of a sudden gets his prayer life back. Lord willing, next week in chapter number two. So I appreciate your good attention tonight. I hope you got something out of it that'll be a help and a blessing. Let's come to our feet tonight. Anybody got anything, word of testimony?